Now, you'll remember that we had conversation on the programme. Was it yesterday or the day before? Let me double check here with Philip Bradfield. Philip, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Philip. Philip, we talked quite a bit. You work with the newsletter. We talked quite a bit about page 5 of the newsletter. I think it was a couple of days ago where there was an ad in the newsletter for Lonely Hearts. And it was a very, very large, very, very large ad. And you're writing in the paper and now you've a story about it to tell us.
Yes, indeed, Frank. Well, we actually, I think, to a large extent, have you to thank for this, actually, Frank, because I'll tell you the genesis of it is just we were busying away in the newsroom on a normal day, and the word came in that, I mean, this advert obviously did stand out. It was a quarter-page advert, a big pink advert with a silhouette of a lady in a white dress and a man kneeling down with some sort of proposal to her. It was all in pink with a big heart, and it caused some, you know, amused discussion within our office. And then we heard, and then the word went round, Frank Mitchell has even picked up on it. And so we start, and I went and had a look at it, and I flagged it up to our news desk. You know, this could be worth a further story. And fatal mistake, the news desk bounced it back to me. Yes, it could. You look into it. So I started to look behind the story, and I started to make inquiries internally to try and get contact details for the advertiser. And then I started, while I was waiting for that to come back, I took the email address from the advert and started to Google the email address to see maybe if there might be more of a story behind it. And the story then took a rather sinister turn, Frank, because this advert identically has been placed in newspapers around the world over the past couple of years. And there was one particular blog as well where people were recounting their horror story, vulnerable ladies who had parted with significant thousands of dollars of money as a result of getting entangled with this person.
Just on this, for people who aren't familiar, let me remind them that indeed in the ad it says on the pink writing, I am 57 years old, seeking a nice lady between the ages of 47 and 79 with views to marriage. Only sincere persons need apply. Please email a biography with recent photo too. And then it gives the email address of the person who wants to make contact with these lovely ladies, aged 47 to 79. So the sinister element really kicked in then when you investigated it, Philip.
Yes, it did. Well, actually, I must say as well, I mean, like any Lonely Hearts advert that are a very common historical thing in newspapers and publications, we simply took the advert in good faith. There was nothing unusual about it at the time, you know. But we have since, of course, stopped the advert and put a block on it. We wouldn't want to expose anyone to that risk. But anyway, so at that point, I could see that we had a story, and I started to delve into it. I contacted our advertising department. I also contacted the PSNI and indeed emailed the individual themselves and said, basically, told them their cover has been blown and, you know, what have they got to say about it? And you can read the full story in our paper today, and it's on our Facebook site as well as to what their response was, which seemed rather lame. But, I mean, I think this is a very common, you know, fraud and, you know, women. Sorry, I must say, I did a series on cybercrime several years ago and looked into this type of thing in some depth, and it's apparently quite common. The normal shtick is that the individual will butter the lady up, ask for photographs, tell her how beautiful she is, tell her all the things that she wants to know. This will go on for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, there'll be some sort of a financial crisis. Oh, my car's broken down. I desperately need it. You couldn't lend me a few thousand dollars until my paycheck comes in next week and I'll rewire you the money immediately. And that's the fatal mistake. And my understanding is, having researched this somewhat, that I think there are a heck of a lot more victims out there than you would ever know, and they'll be too embarrassed to ever admit to anyone that they've been caught. So really my motive for coming on today is really to flag up to people, you know, just be wary, and certainly absolutely be wary of this advert. You know, this is a pretty sort of risky thing, and we wouldn't want anyone to get, you know, reeled in, least of all through our pages, you know. But we were the ones exposed, and I have to say, this advert had been going on for years around newspapers in Australia, in England, various other places, and for years you can Google it and see. But thankfully, we were the ones that exposed it and have hopefully shot up a warning on the web for people now, and we're doing our best to flag this up to people.
No, fair play. Absolutely, Philip. That it's great to know that. It seemed a bizarre ad, and that's why we were making light of it and having a laugh and wondering what sort of man would want a woman aged 47 to 79, all of that, and with good radio out of it. But you got to the bottom of it, which is critical, and also your paper has taken the correct action to ensure that that guy or whoever he is doesn't in some way trick people into communicating with him. The advice is very clear. If you did see the ad in the newsletter, if you have made a note of the email address to contact the bloke, don't do it. And if you've already contacted him, refuse any further contact with him if he comes back to you.
Absolutely. I think I would say, Frank, you know, I imagine there must be some people out there that have fallen, you know, victim to this sort of thing before. And I would just like to say very clearly, they're absolutely not alone. You know, these are so plausible. They're professional fraudsters. And I have to confess, I repeat again, I did a series on cybercrime as part of an investigations team several years ago. I looked at the advert and I was immediately taken in. I thought it was funny. And my immediate thoughts were, look, that sounds quite sad. It sounds like the guy's 57 year old. I imagined some tragic, broken-hearted, lonely bachelor living in the Tyrone countryside who's gone to desperate measures to get a new sweetheart. You know, so I would just urge anyone that has fallen, you know, victim to this sort of thing, not to feel so bad about it. You know, so many people are taken in. These are full-time professional criminals, and by all means, you know, do not be taken in by people that you've never met on these sob stories. They did provide another email address to our advertising department initially, and when I looked into that, the West Australian Department of Industry has put a warning out that that email address is linked to a money laundering scam that originates in Ghana. So these people have their fingers in all sorts of pies. But you can read the story on our website today, shameless plug, Frank. But whenever I contacted him and confronted him about what he was up to, you know, immediately he was telling me, oh, that he has a new girlfriend now, so stop the advert. So there was a bit of panic repeatedly, stop the advert. Why are you asking for so many questions? And he said, for anyone that was taking him seriously, he then said, you know, he has met this new girlfriend. She's from America. And he's meeting her in a Liverpool restaurant tomorrow. So even if you did hold out any hopes, I'm afraid, guys, this con man is apparently, by his own confession, taken now. So on all fronts, avoid at all costs, Frank.
Avoid at all costs is absolutely right. I wonder, did he pay for the ad? Probably not.
I honestly don't know the whole background to that. We would certainly have been carrying out our normal processes and checks and so on. But needless to say, he's completely blocked now. Anyway, typically, I don't know the whole background about what happened in this. But what I will say is, having done a bit of work on this background, typically these guys have their fingers in so many pies. They have all covers based, normally speaking. And normally the way they finance their work is with stolen credit card numbers. There's a huge market on the dark web and buying and selling stolen credit card numbers. And I would bet my house that that's what these sort of people would be working with anyway. But I don't know the details behind this particular case, you know.
Philip, great story. Thank you very, very much indeed for bringing us right up to date with it. Philip Bradfield from the newsletter. And if you want to read all about it, you can read about it in the newsletter. Right, good morning. This is the U105 phone-in. We're easing our way through the day.